scary. You've never been to Freedom Village, have you? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. Lord, I pray you bless this time, give the word you want me to speak in Jesus' name. Amen. I got this. I always do my messages before the day that I'm supposed to do it, and I was listening to my father-in-law speak this morning, and I was going, "He's doing my message." And then Pastor Rice got up, and I said, "He's doing the rest of my message. Come on, do y'all's own message." So if you was here this morning, you're going to hear.
Just rehearse it.
Yeah, I got all the notes down, so I won't miss nothing. If you would turn to Romans 13, it's going to be a little different. Romans 13:11 says, "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." There's a lot of talk about the last days, and there's a lot of talk about how this world has gotten so far compared to what it was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
20 years ago was a totally different world than it is now. 10 years ago was a totally different world than it is now. And it seems that it's just going downhill in a great rapid speed. The closer we get to Jesus coming, the faster it gets. The worse that the world gets. And there's all kinds of things that are happening in the world that we wouldn't even believe could have happened 20 years ago, 10 years ago. It's mind-boggling. The lack of morality, the sexual sin, all the stuff that we wouldn't believe America would be in, we're finding that we're in it today. And so we get a lot of talk about when Jesus is coming back. But there's also a day that's coming that maybe Jesus ain't going to come. You know, there's a lot of great preachers that preach that Jesus is coming soon, but they passed away before Jesus came. And so just because it's getting close to our last days doesn't mean that we're going to see Jesus. I believe that we're going to, well, I believe that Jesus is coming soon. How soon, I don't know. What if it's another 50 years? Well, I'm not going to be alive then. So my last day is not going to be that day. My last day is going to be a day sooner. And, you know, Psalms 90:10 says the days of our years are 70. That means 70. And if by reason of strength they be 80, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off and we fly away. There's a song that says when we all get to heaven. There's something wrong with that because everybody thinks everybody's going to get to go to heaven. And everybody ain't going to be in heaven. There's a lot of my family that's dead and gone now that I'm going to get to see brought up out of hell. It's crazy that a lot of my family, the Bible says 70 and 80, but there's a lot of my family that was 90 years old when they passed away. I can't tell you how many, just about every aunt and uncle that I got alive right now is 80-something years old. And Ephesians 6:1 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." I guess some of my family was obedient to their mom and dad, because they lived a lot longer than 80. My Aunt Betty, I think she's 86 right now, I'm not sure. But when she turned 80, I was talking to her, and she said, "Tracy, I messed up." I said, "How did you mess up, Aunt Betty?" She goes, "Well, I let my concealed handgun license expire. And now I got to go, in Texas, you got to go qualify at the range before they give you a license." She goes, "Now I got to go back and qualify. My family wants me to use an automatic. That way I get to carry any weapon I want." And she goes, "My wrists are a little weak and I can't pull a .45 back." That's a lot of my family back there. That's just... shows you how they are. But you know what? We got kids that are dying of overdoses.
Yeah.
And they're a teenager. We got girls that are going into prostitution when they're a teenager, they ain't going to live a long life. I wish that, I don't wish my life on anybody. And for me to stand here today and talk to y'all about Jesus is a miracle.
Yeah.
Because at 40 years of my life, 40 years of age, most of my family have written me off that I would never live very long and that I never would get saved. But I thank God that He answers prayer.
Yeah.
I also thank God that in 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promises, some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." I thank God that He's long-suffering. Because I spit on Him for 40 years and He still saved me.
Yeah.
You know, if I was God, I'd have zapped me a long time ago. And so one of the things that you can put on your list is long-suffering, because not many people say that. But I'm so glad, I'm so thankful that He is long-suffering. I'm so thankful that He answers prayers. There's a lot of prayers that we prayed 2 weeks ago that God's already answered. Jeannie's here.
Yeah.
Bill's here. We have a home. You know, the more I think about this house, the more I understand that I needed to sit down and shut up and know that He had it. The day before that woman left to go to Arizona, we met her. And the very next day she left Arizona, but she gave us the key to her house. Now we have a house. Right. Not only that, but that we don't have to pay no heating bill. All we have to pay is electric and the water. Not only that, we don't have to pay the TV. Not only that, it's walking distance to church. You know, God had that all along. He knew that before I came to Freedom Village, that I'm just going to move into that house. So He told me to sit down, shut up, I've got it.
Praise the Lord.
Now, I say all that to say this, because I'm moving on to a different... Go to Luke 21. If I was in college and doing stuff for professor, I don't think I'd do really good in hermeneutics, because I don't stay in one scripture very long. Maybe I should start doing that. In Luke 21, verse 28, Jesus is talking about the last days. And in verse 28 it says, "And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." Now, That kind of surprised me, because I'm kind of slow. When I look up, I have to look up. And I got to thinking about that after I read Romans, because I was trying to look in the Bible, talking about awake out of sleep, and talking about the last days. I know what it's like to be burnt out. I know what it's like to be on the front line serving God. I know what it's like to sacrifice all the things that we think we need to have. There's a saying at the village, "You'll be surprised what you can do without." But I don't know of a missionary that ever went out on the missionary field to serve God that didn't sacrifice. Pastor Rice talks about sacrificing their family. You know, one thing I liked about the village is that Thanksgiving, the kids went to certain families. So we didn't eat in the cafeteria. It was a family deal. My first Thanksgiving there, I had a full hallway, and the guys there were missing home. And after we came back from the staff member's house, all of them were laughing and having a good time. And it's because it was in a family atmosphere. They had a new family. But you know what? I've watched a lot of people grow old and die. And I watched them get tired. I watched them not be able to do the things they used to be able to do. My brother-in-law was the strongest man on earth, and now my sister has to help him walk from a chair to another chair. He can't do anything. So I've seen that happen in people's lives. And you know what? Serving God, even life itself gets tiring. And when I looked at that and it said, "Lift up, then look up and lift up your heads." You know, as we get older, sometimes we get bent over. You don't have to be old to be broke down. You don't have to be old to be depressed. You don't have to be old to have no hope. You know, before I got saved, I had no hope in this world. There's a story about a verse in the Bible that says, "Eat, drink, and marry, be merry, for tomorrow you will die." And that's what people think. You know, I'm going to have a good time on this life, and then I'll die, and it doesn't matter. I'm dead. And people get depressed. And when you're depressed, maybe you're looking down, but your head's down too. But the Bible says, when these things begin to come to pass, don't worry about it. Just look up. Lift your head. Because Jesus is coming. Your redemption draweth nigh. In verse 34 of Luke 21, it says, "And take heed to yourself, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man." It says, don't get caught up in this world. Because if you get caught up in this world, you're going to be depressed all the time. If you're continually to look at what somebody else has got, if you're going to continue to look at what you don't have, if you're going to continue to look at what you want instead of what God has for you, when I got fired the first week, I was in shock. And then the second week, I was in my Bible and I was talking to God more than I have been. And every time I get up in the morning, I go to the table and I'd say, "Lord, give me something." And I open up the Bible and it was something. Sit down. The next day was shut up. The next day, I got this. The next day, why are you so fearful? Where's your faith? The next day is, I cannot lie. I told you, I promised you I was going to do something. Now, I can't lie. And every time that was, it's because I had a personal relationship with Him.
Yeah.
I never would have heard God tell me to quit my job 10 plus years ago if I didn't have a personal relationship with Him. Pastor Rice talked about the still small voice the other day. And I tell you something, God's voice is quiet. Because you don't want Him to shout.
Yeah.
When Judas brought his little band to him in the garden, he says, "Whom do you seek?" And all of them fell back. I think he was a little agitated. I'm not sure. But when he said that, "Whom do you seek?" all of them fell down. That would have scared me enough to say, "Don't mess with this guy."
Yeah.
You know, when my brother-in-law, I smarted off my brother-in-law one time, and he went like this, bam. He didn't bear it, he just, bam. And when I got up, I was about 3 or 4 feet back. And I learned not to smart off to him. If somebody would said, "Whom do you seek?" and I would fall down, I'd said, "Nobody, I'm just on my way home." I'd have left.
Yeah.
This says, watch. You know, I've always said this about... When I was working in the secular world, my boss would leave sometimes and leave me in charge. And I worked harder when he was gone than I did when he was there. For this simple fact, that when he was there, I didn't have to worry about nothing. All I had to do was what I was supposed to do. But when he was gone, I had everybody's work on me. So I had to work harder. I had to be more diligent. I had to watch not only what I was doing, but I had to watch what everybody else was doing. We was in it's in New York City.
Manhattan, Queens, Bronx, Brooklyn.
We was in Brooklyn. We was in Brooklyn one time, and he said, "I want you to take. I got to go over here. I'll be gone, and then take over." Well, the owner of the bowling alley came in, and we was working, and the owner of the bowling alley, I was saved at the time, was he got on your nerves really quick, and he came in and started griping about this and griping about this and griping about this and why it wasn't done and why this. And finally I had enough, and I walked outside. I got on my cell phone, and I called my boss, and I said, "You need to get back here quick." And he said, "What's wrong?" I said, "The owner's here." And he said, "Well, what's wrong with that?" And I said, "I'm fixing to knock him out." And he goes, I love this, "Calm down, just stay away from me, and I'll be there soon." I said, "Okay." So I tried to stay as far away from him. I went back to the back and started working so he'd be away from me. My boss got back, and he went to talk to the owner. And I'm working away, and my boss comes up, and he said, "You need to get me out of here." And I said, "What are you talking about?" I said, "I'm fixing to knock him out." And I said, "All right, well, what you need to do is calm down." So there's always times when we need to step back. You know, if we think this is bad now, what's going to happen if the Lord tarries for 10 years? What's going to happen to our kids? What's going to happen when they're going and doing drugs in elementary school instead of junior high? What's going to happen when the morality of this country is so bad that they're doing this now? They're teaching homosexuality in schools.
Yeah.
What's it going to be 10 years from now? What's a Christian going to go through in 10 years from now if the Lord tarries? We're going to be called haters because we love somebody enough to tell them the truth. Well, I always use this illustration. You know, if something's hot and when you're a kid and somebody tells you not to touch it, you always touch it. Do you think that person hated you that told you to quit? Do you think that person that told you not to touch that hated you, that didn't want you to have anything?
Nope.
That person that told you not to touch that was trying to keep you from getting hurt. That person that told you that was trying to keep you from getting burnt. It's not a hater. It says, "Lift up, then look up and lift up your heads." The more I thought about that, the more I thought about, after being there for about 8 years, how worn out I was, how tired I was. And man, I would go to work with my head down. I would go to work looking at the ground. It takes something getting shaken in your life to really make you look around and see what's going on. It took me getting fired for God to shake me and say, "Hey, look, I don't care about that farm out there. I care about souls." And that's what this thing's all about. It's about us getting saved and then going out and getting other people saved. I call this the Great Pyramid. And but this pyramid, there's no money in it. There's a greater reward.
Amen.
And you don't have to con somebody into doing it. Because if you con somebody into doing it, they ain't going to make it.
Amen.
There's a lot of people out there that like a Ananias and Sapphira that are trying to be like everybody else. But they're just, not only are they lying to the Holy Spirit, they're lying to themselves and lying to everybody else. They're no more saved than a man in the moon. And in the ministry, you get to see that. You get to see people that are just coming to church and making a play of things, but they're not living a Christian life. In Romans 8:18, it says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." You know, Paul had that. I don't know of anybody that can take a whipping, a beating, where there's blood coming off his back, where he needed to be washed because of the lashes whipped him. That would only preaching the word of God. That's why he got this. And then got thrown into a prison. Not just a prison, but the inner, the dungeon. And they'd be singing praises and hymns at midnight. I don't know of anybody that would do that. But see, Paul said when he wrote this in Romans, and when he wrote that the suffering, when he wrote this in Romans 8:18, says, don't worry about the sufferings of this world. Don't worry about the sacrifices you're making. Think about what's going to be in heaven for you. When we get to heaven, we're going to see what Paul had. You know what? We're going to want. We're going to wish that we did more. Mm-hmm. We're going to wish that, you know, the things that I called suffering wasn't really anything. You know, God lets his children suffer sometimes so we get closer. So that we would draw nigh. You see, when we draw nigh to him, he'll draw nigh to us. I think we all need to draw nigh to him.
Amen.
And I think we all need to look up and lift up our heads. Because this world can beat you down. But what we really need to realize is, you know what? One day this is all going to pass away.
Amen.
One day we're going to be walking on the streets of gold. We're going to be with Jesus. And we'll look back at this time and say, wow, I wished I hadn't acted that way. Or I wished I'd have done more. I wished I hadn't gotten depressed when this happened. In 10 years, I've watched people leave the village and how bitter they got. How bitter they got. I'm not bitter at all. In fact, I'm looking at this as a great reward. Brother Garraway said, you ought to praise the Lord they fired you. And I'm sad that I left, but I'm not sad about this. God still has something for me to do. And I believe I'm going to grow through this experience. And I'm going to be better for it.
Amen.
Because in Romans 8, all things work together for them. All work. Where is it? I'm right here. I can't see it. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. So if you are a child of God, and maybe you're going through some stuff, and if you're not, you're going to. And sometimes this world can beat you down. You know, we always say we're thankful for salvation. But when I got saved, when the Lord turned the captivity of them in Zion, we were like them that dreamed. I had no hope. But when I got saved, I had all the hope in the world. I could dream again. I had so much joy in my life. Because, number one, God cleansed me. All that guilt and shame and sin that I've been trying to carry around was gone. You see, I was bent down. I was looking down. Because I thought I was fixing to die. In fact, I wanted to die. And when God saved me, I found out that I was dead already. And that I had just been given life. There was no happier person on this earth than me. April the 9th, 2006. I had a dream. I understood that no matter what the devil threw at me, God had a purpose for my life. I had something to tell somebody about. And that's what our job is to do, is tell somebody about the hope they have. Pastor Rice talks about walking around Geneva. You don't have to go very far to see somebody that's down. You don't have to go very far to see somebody that's just given up on life. You know what a drug addict's doing? A drug addict or a drunk is looking at his problems and saying, I cannot go through this. I'm going to go over here and hide from my problems. I'm going to run from my problems. I'm going to get drunk today, and everything's going to be all right because I'm drunk. I'm going to go get high today, and everything will be all right because I'm high. But then they start coming down, and the world comes back into their life. And they get so messed up and so depressed because it's worse now. Reality is hell for them. I'm so glad that I could live in reality and have joy. This wasn't a fun time for me, but as Pastor Rice was talking about 2 weeks ago when we was praying, there's a lot of people going through a lot of things in this church. When I saw my mother-in-law suffer and not complain, not gripe, that just enforces what God can do in somebody if we allow that. It would have been so easy for her to gripe, complain, this is the second, third time I'm doing this, I'm sick of it. I imagine she was thinking that. Bill, you was a big, strong man one time that could do anything. Now you got to carry that bottle around. Why is that? Does God hate you? No. God loves you. And God loves each and every one of us.
Amen.
The same. There's no favorites with Him. So no matter what we're going through, Paul, beaten and thrown in a dungeon, was singing hymns and praises to God. How can somebody do that? Paul had already been stoned. They drug him out of the city. They thought he was dead. No telling how many times he's been beaten. He's been shipwrecked. The people he loved didn't want anything to do with him. They hated him. The Romans hated him. Everybody hated him. God didn't hate him. He didn't give up. In fact, at the end he said, I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've kept my head up. And that's what we need to do. We need to keep our heads up. No matter what's going on, He promised that He'll never leave us nor forsake us. You know what? I love talking to my Aunt Betty. For some reason, we wasn't that close when I was growing up. I had other aunts and uncles that I was close. They lived in Fort Worth, and we lived in Granbury. That was 30 miles away, so we didn't go get to see them very often. But every time that somebody was sick in the family, Aunt Betty was there. And even when my uncle, who just passed away, I don't know how many times Aunt Betty was there, but I know she was there a bunch. And she's 85, 86 years old. She was always there when somebody needed her. You know what? We have a lot of people that's around us that really need somebody to tell them, hey, everything's going to be all right. Or, you know, if you're not saved, you need to know about Jesus. Let me tell you what happened in my life. If you're a drunken alcoholic, I can talk to you real easy. I understand where you're going through. I've been there. But I want to tell you something. The day I trusted Christ, He took all that away from me.
Amen.
I don't struggle with it anymore. He's talking about the NA. I really don't like NA, and I really don't like AA. Because the first thing they do is, hi, my name's Tracy Moore, and I'm an alcoholic. Well, that's a lie. That's putting a curse on my life. I could walk in there and say, you know what? My name's Tracy Moore, and I used to be an alcoholic, and I used to be a drug addict. But I took one step. I stepped to Jesus.
Yeah,
and Jesus took all that away just like that. That's hope. I don't have to go to a place every day or once a week and tell everybody that, hey, you know, I'm struggling. I really had a hard time. My boss hollered at me today. And, man, I just felt like quitting and going getting drunk. I've never thought about getting drunk again since the day I got saved. I see it as poison. Drugs and alcohol is poison. It's a scientific fact that alcohol kills brain cells. That's poison. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So why you say you tell me you're saved, but you're out poisoning your body? That don't go with Scripture.
Amen.
So as time draws closer to Jesus coming, it's going to get worse and worse. But as time draws closer for me or you for your last day, things are going to get bad.
Amen.
But this thing we should do, we should always remember that Jesus is with us. And one day, whether that day comes before he comes back, or that day comes when he does come back. I don't know about y'all, I won't die. When I read in the Bible where you're talking about Elijah and he just got come in the flaming chariot and they brought him up, and I said, can the chariot not be on fire? You know, just bring me up. I want to be like Enid. You know, one minute I was there, and the next minute, where's Tracy? He did that to Enoch because he pleased him. He did that to Elijah because Elijah went up and did what God wanted him to do. I wasn't obedient to my parents a lot of times. In fact, I was obedient there for a long time until I decided that I got a C on a report card one time. A C. And my mom or dad didn't yell at me. And I wanted them to yell at me. I got a 79 on one class. A C. A 79. But see, I was a straight A student. But I wanted to be like the rest of the dummies. I wanted to fit in with the crowd. And that's the day, when I started rebelling. A simple little thing. I'm not going to do my work. I'm going to sit back here with the other idiots and talk and not pay attention. And I got a 79. And I wish my mom or my dad or both of them would have said, don't you ever come in here with a 79 again. Because that would have straightened me up just like that. But they said, oh, it's okay. You know, try harder. That was the day I started rebelling. Simple little act led to me being an alcoholic, a drug addict. You see, when we rebel, when we don't do what our parents tell us to do, when we say, I want to touch this and burn my hand anyway, whether you like it or not. Okay. But see, it doesn't hurt me. It hurts the kid. So when the kid doesn't want to do what you want him to do, like you said this morning, he's not going to do what God wants him to do either. God has a plan for your life, and it's to be obedient. And if you're not going to be obedient to the people he's put over you, you won't be obedient to him, and you will rebel. And can I tell you something? Rebelling against God is the stupidest thing in the world you could do. Because see, he has all the blessings. He has all the good stuff. And if you're going to run with the devil's crowd, understand this, you can't be a Christian and run with the devil's crowd. We've let this country, let this world, we gave it to the devil's crowd just because we stepped back from what God wanted us to do and we started doing what we wanted to do. At the end of World War II, everybody came back and everybody says, all right, we've got this done. Now we're going to make a life for us. We're going to make a living. So everybody started working hard and everybody started getting stuff. And from then on, it's been downhill. Lester Roloff preached a message in 1976. Has America gone too far? And they were making fun of Lester then. I don't know too many people that are around now that don't understand that Lester was right. Lift up, look up, and lift up, for your redemption draweth nigh. How can I be depressed if I have God, if Jesus is right here? How can I be depressed if the person who spoke this world in existence is walking with me today? Amen. Paul said, I'd rather die. I die daily. But he said, you know what? I'd rather die. It's expedient for me if I go to heaven. But it's expedient for you if I stay here and talk to you about Jesus and teach you. But my home's up there. My heart's up there. I'd rather be with Jesus than be down here on this earth. If we have that attitude, we'll never be depressed. There'll be things that we go through. There'll be trials in our life that we don't understand it. But if we understand that God's with us, and that He loves us, how in the world can we be depressed? There's nothing impossible with Him. And all things are impossible with men. I want to hang around the guy that could speak anything into my life. I want to hang around the guy that says, I got it, sit down, shut up. You're going to stay over by the church. Shut up. I want to talk to you about stuff. How you doing today? Other than you're all nervous and giddy about this stupid stuff that I've already taken care of. Hey, your salvation is taken care of. What if you do die? Who cares? You'll be here with me. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. When I read that, I said, how in the world can that be? That's morbid. Wait a minute. God loves us and He wants us to be with Him. He wants to fellowship with us. Not only in heaven, but here on earth. So if we go up there, guess what? I ain't going to worry about nothing. I'm going to pick grapefruit for Lester Roloff. I already know what I'm going to do in heaven. We don't need to be depressed.
Amen.
And we need to be obedient.
Amen.
And we need to do what God wants us to do. He says in Romans 13, wake up. And that knowing the time, that is now time to it is high time to awake out of sleep. What's that saying? It means get doing what I've told you to do. Don't be like that guy that when his boss goes away, he sits down. Be like that guy when the boss goes away, he's out doing what the boss needs him to do. Be diligent. Be sober. Be out there doing what you're supposed to do, what I told you to do. It's about souls, Tracy. It's not about jobs. It's about souls. So we need to be ever mindful that, you know, every day that goes by, that's a day that we won somebody to Christ, that's a day that we did something for Christ, or it's a day that we wasted. I've wasted enough time. I've wasted 40 years of my life. I wasted 40 years of my life. They're gone. Nothing. There's nothing there. He erased 40 years of my life. So now I'm only 11 point something years old. What have I done in that 11 point years? It was great to be, hey, I work at Freedom Village, but what are you doing? How many people have you led to Christ? How many lives are different because of you? Different in a good way. Or how many lives are worse off because of you? So it's time to watch, to lift up, to look up, and do what He wants us to do. Because the devil is really good at getting somebody knocked off track. The devil is really good at putting stuff on that person that they shouldn't be doing, somebody else should be doing. But we all should be doing this. We should be thinking that, you know, every day I live, I'm getting closer to that day. Heavenly Father, I thank You so much, Lord, for salvation. I think we say that kind of I'm thankful for that, but Lord, I am so thankful for that. Without salvation, we would have no hope. There'd be no reason to live. I'm so thankful that for Your Word, we'd be lost without it, Lord Jesus. I'm so thankful that I was born in a time when Your Word was there. And I'm so thankful for that Your long-suffering, Lord, that we could go away from You for a long time, but Lord, You're right there waiting for us to come back like the prodigal son. I'm so thankful for this church. I'm so thankful for You answering prayers. Lord, there's so many things that we need to be thankful for, just for the things You've done in the last couple of weeks. So Lord, I pray that we would be thankful, that we'd be grateful. And Lord, that we wouldn't get depressed in these times, that we would get, we would be thankful that we're living in these times, because a lot of people wish that they get to see You come back. Lord, one day we may, if you tarry, we may get to look up in heaven and see you coming. And I pray that each and every one of us is ready, that we've done your work that you wanted us to do, and that we could stand in front of you and say, thank you, Lord. And you could say, thou good and faithful servant. Lord, give us a great night. Be with us. Be with the people traveling a long way. Pray for safety. And I pray you bless in a mighty way. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's stand for an invitation. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its word. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved. We're on page 183. It tells me of a Savior's love, who died to set me free. It tells me of his precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. Oh, how I love Jesus.